This is an Enterprise Times security podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here today at Avast talking to Andrey Vilcek, who's CTO, about their new release. Andrey, good morning.
Good morning.
Perhaps you could give us some idea of your role, and especially now that you're two companies, not one company.
I started at Avast about 21 years ago as a part-time developer. It was during my university studies. It was a summer job for me. And then after I finished the studies, I became a developer. I worked on the first version of Avast for Windows 95, gradually climbed up, became the CTO around 12 years ago. I have been the CTO since then. In 2014, I also assumed a business role, so I became the COO for Avast, linking all the sales and marketing, as well as product development, product management, etc. And now, most recently, after the ABG acquisition, I became the overall leader of the consumer business unit. So that's about two-thirds of the overall Avast business.
We were talking earlier about this is now your second release since the merger. Your first release came out earlier this month. What is the focus of this release?
When we did the deal, we thought that it was really important that we integrate the two engines as fast as we can, because we didn't want to maintain two parallel platforms, two parallel engines. We set a pretty aggressive timeline for the integration. We did it in basically 100 days after the closing of the deal. So we went pretty deep in integrating all the various features and techniques that we found on both sides. I mean, technically, we picked the Avast engine and the Avast platform as the underlying 2B platform, but then we identified a whole bunch of technologies and golden nuggets on the AVG side, and we re-implemented, ported them to Avast to really provide much better product for both Avast and AVG customers. So the thing that we released on January 10th under the AVG brand was already a first version of a product that runs on this unified platform, and now we are releasing the Avast branded product, which is also based on that same platform but comes with some additional features and technologies that make the difference between Avast and AVG.
At what point will the two names go away? Is the plan is to make the two names go away and only have one, and therefore customers get one stream they update? Because it sounds like the AVG customers got something in January, now we're into Feb, the Avast customers get it. The next release will what be single release for both sets of customers?
We actually plan to maintain both of the brands for the time being. The reason for that being mainly that the two brands are quite strong in various geographies, various countries of the world. For example, AVG tends to be much stronger in English-speaking countries like the UK, while Avast is much stronger in the non-English-speaking countries like France, Italy, Spain, Latin America, etc. So we don't want to necessarily force people from one brand to migrate to the other brand, because we would undoubtedly cause some churn and lose some customers. So we decided to keep both brands and both products to run in parallel for the time being, at least for 2 years, and then decide what we do moving forward. It's not only a rebranding exercise. We actually, the products will still be quite different in many ways. So the way we like to think about it is if you look at car manufacturers, for example. So if you have Volkswagen and Audi, these run typically same engines, maybe same platforms, but the chassis is very different, and all the features, positioning in the market, campaigns, etc., they are done separate for both brands, and that's what we are doing here also.
You have a list of five big features for this release. Could you talk me through some of those?
It would be good to start with the core security features, that is the stuff that protects the customers and users against viruses and the internet-based threats. The one feature that I think will make the most difference is a new component that we call Behavior Shield on the Avast side, and the equivalent on the AVG side is called Software Analyzer. It basically provides behavior analysis of all programs running on the device, of all the processes, all file system access, all registry access, all inter-process communication, etc., and correlates that with other signals that we receive from other endpoints in the cloud. By doing that, it enables us to uncover malicious behavior even if we don't know about anything about the malware family, etc. By doing that, we are able to block malware that's even been unseen in the past. That's proven to be especially powerful against certain categories of malware, such as ransomware. Because ransomware is something that you can detect by its behavior, because it has some common behavior no matter what the family is. It's also extremely difficult because of all the misdirection and all the encryption that the bad guys are using to detect using the more traditional methods.
Inside the average home today, we no longer have a single operating system. We have multiple devices. You're going to see potentially iOS, you're going to see OS X, Windows, variations on Linux, Android. We've got PlayStations in houses, IoT devices, a whole range. How difficult is it to build an end user security product that can actually work across such a wide spread of operating systems consistently without you falling into the trap of having holes you don't see?
Definitely it's becoming more complex and more difficult. One thing to realize is that the threats that are targeting the various devices are quite different. So for example, on Windows, the traditional way of attacking was a virus or a piece of malware. That's not necessarily the case, for example, on the iPhone or talking about IoT devices. And the reason is that obviously on the iPhone, it's a pretty closed ecosystem, walled garden, which is pretty difficult to penetrate in terms of malware or in terms of virus. But that doesn't mean that these devices are immune to cyber attacks. So what's happening typically is that there is some kind of security attack happening on the network level. So the bad guys, when they are trying to attack mobile devices in general, they usually use means of hijacking the network, either through Wi-Fi misdirection or 3G towers, all sorts of social engineering attacks. So phishing is an all-time high these days. And it's becoming a much more wider spectrum of attack vectors that the bad guys have at their disposal. It's become quite challenging for security vendors like ourselves to kind of provide a holistic view of the entire network and be able to cope with it. That said, we do have some specific features in the product that are here to protect against Internet of Things type of devices and attacks on them with the new Wi-Fi inspector. It's a feature that we are introducing in this new release. We are able to do a scan of all the devices on the network, and we can pinpoint the security vulnerabilities of these devices and guide the users through remediation steps.
How do you do that simply? I'm a self-confessed nerd. I hang around in an echo chamber of self-confessed nerds. The problem is, if I go out to members of my family, other people I know who don't spend much time around technology, and I say, this is a simple solution, people look at me like I've grown a second head. They have this real fear of dealing with this. When you're going to start talking people through remediating their fridge, their TV, they don't even understand the attack. How do you make that easy, non-frightening, non-threatening to them? Because if it's threatening, they're just going to ignore it.
That's the whole challenge with consumer security. We've been in this business for 20 years, and the products are quite, I would say, consumerized in the sense that we went into a lot of trouble, you know, working on the UX elements, that is making all the messages and all the flows accessible even for mere mortals. The fact is that some of these things are inherently difficult and sophisticated, like talking about, for example, remediation on the IoT devices or the router devices. They mean that the user has to, for example, flash new firmware on the router, etc., which is not something an average user would be able to do. But we've got two things. One is that we know that in most families, most communities, there's these family CTOs or family geeks that are usually the youngest generation is the best with this kind of stuff that is able to help. And the second, we have a professional services branch that is able for small fee to help the customers by telephone support or chat support, guide the user or even do it for the user automatically.
Have you considered creating your own YouTube channel for some of this? Because some of these things could be just a very simple walkthrough on a YouTube, or it could be a very quick way of taking them in. Certainly, getting them nowhere near the registry on Windows, for example. But, you know, something as simple as how do you get into this particular brand of camera? How do you change this password? That sort of thing. Give them a bit of confidence.
That's a good point. I mean, we do have a YouTube channel, of course, which we use for product trainings, etc., but we can probably extend that to also, you know, work on the remediation, recipes, etc.
I suggest it probably because it's a channel that people can access very easily and very readily. Amongst the other things you've added is a password management, and passwords, of course, have come under a lot of fire recently. In fact, they've been under fire for probably, most of the 35 years I've been around this business. What are you looking to do there? Are you looking to compete with the password vaulting companies?
We found out almost anecdotally that over 80% of Avast users store passwords in the browser. When Chrome or IE or Firefox ask people whether they want to remember the password, they don't even say store, they just use the word remember. Most people just click yes because it's a big convenience so that you don't have to retype the password all the time. Now, what this means is that the password is saved on the hard drive, just waiting there to be read and exploited by any kind of, you know, malicious code running there. It's wide open and there is no protection whatsoever, and it's a ticking bomb, we thought. So we just wanted to increase the security of these passwords by providing a proper vault where we would make sure that no malicious code that may be potentially running on the device or somewhere reading the content of the disk even remotely wouldn't be able to read the passwords, because very, very dangerous. And at the same time, then we added additional features, like, for example, most people use the same password all over again on most services, and they don't realize that it's super dangerous, because even if the password is very complex and is very strong by itself, it only takes one of these services to compromise the password, and then all the other services totally vulnerable, because clearly the same credentials work everywhere. The product not only properly encrypts and stores the password in a way that's not accessible by malware or any other code running on the computer, but it also notifies and guides the user through the process of choosing proper passwords and using unique passwords across various services.
We do have a tendency in this business to blame the user when it all goes wrong. There's a lot of victim shaming when the number of services you find that have unencrypted passwords stored on them. But it's always the user fault, of course, for using a password. When do you start to talk your users through the need for two-factor authentication? Or when do you add, for example, biometric support into your own? If you're supporting things like tablets and phones, most now support a degree of biometric.
I think this is very much related to convenience. The problem today is that two-factor is still very much inconvenient for most people. People naturally will always choose convenience over security. That's just the nature of human being, I think. Until and unless two-factor will become frictionless enough so that they don't have to worry about it, I think wider adoption will be quite difficult. So in the password product, by the way, we have quite a unique feature that provides two-factor by just proximity measurement. So that if you have a mobile phone which is in physical proximity from the PC, then these two kind of pair using Bluetooth, they pair and create the second factor, which is based on proximity location, which is, again, I think, a good compromise between, it's like what I would call 1.5 factor. That is, the second factor is not as strong. It's only based on the fact that the mobile phone is in the proximity, but it's still a pretty higher level of protection than if there was no second factor at all.
Gaming has become a huge industry. Most houses now have some form of game device, even be that PC, Xbox, PlayStation, something else. The problem with antivirus in the past is it's got in the way of gaming. It's become a particular issue. Last year, I was doing some work with Silence, for example, and they struggled to detect when the Steam engine changed. They just blocked it by default because it was a self-modifying engine. One of the things you're offering now is to have your antivirus not interfere with the speed of gamers' devices. What have you done to add security but not be intrusive there?
So this is the new game mode feature that we are introducing in this new version. The way it works is that whenever it detects a game is running, and we have thousands of games in the database and we detect them automatically, then it reconfigures not just the Avast product but also other programs and the operating system itself running to provide for best possible gaming experience. Meaning that we kind of snooze all the messages, we bypass or somehow suspend all background updates and things like that, things that slow down the gaming experience. The problem that we saw was that many people were shutting down or at least pausing their security software just to play a game, because they felt like they wouldn't get good performance from the game unless they stopped the antivirus. And we want to change that because we see that as pretty big risk. I mean, people are basically exposing their devices wide open to the internet while they are playing, and that's clearly not right. So the idea of game mode was to provide for as good gaming experience as possible by automatically detecting when a game is being played and reconfiguring the system.
This release going out today is aimed at Avast users. Are you going to make it easy for AVG users who want to come across to upgrade straight into it, either at a low cost or free? What process are you giving them?
The upgrade path right now are the Avast customers or users are one-click upgrades to the new product, and the AVG users have a one-click upgrade to the AVG product. And these are still kept somehow independent, so because of the differences between the two products that I was talking about. Right now, there is no real one-click migration path from one brand to another. That said, with something that we call the passive mode, the products have become possible to actually install our product, both Avast and AVG, side by side with other security programs. Historically, it's been always the rule of thumb that you can only install one antivirus at a time or one security software at a time. And the reason for that was that Windows wasn't really built to allow for multiple filter drivers or network filters and all of that. We kind of are changing that with passive mode, where now you are able to install our products together with, say, Norton or whatever other security software. It will automatically find out that it's running on a computer that runs another security software and pre-configure itself in a sense that it won't conflict at all and won't use any additional resources. What we still make the non-core, you know, real-time protection features such as the Wi-Fi inspector available to these users, which we thought was really important.
I think it's going to be interesting to see how quickly some of these users take up the new features. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much.